Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Psalm 139. We are continuing with our series of issues of life answered from the Word of God, dealing with the idea of questions that we have to answer in our society today that we need to have a biblical response to. Now, remember, the early part of this series was asking some basic things and working our way up to the harder questions. And we had a harder question last week. Today is one that's always charge-packed and very much on the lips of everybody who has any type of political leanings, because this is such a big question. And it's one that, because it's such a big question within our society, we need to have a biblical response and not an emotional response and not one based off of our thoughts and our opinions or even our experiences. What does the Bible have to say concerning the idea of abortion? Is abortion the killing of the unborn? And we know that this is more of a sensitive topic, and we want to try to be as discerning as possible, but at the same time, give us a biblical response to these things. If you don't mind, let's start in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and let's look starting at verse number 13. Psalm 139 and verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice this in verse number 13, Psalm 139 in verse number 13. Notice this: thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And then as a continuation of that thought, verse 14, I will praise thee. Why? For I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, the Bible is very clear here that it speaks about that we were made in God's womb, or in the womb, and that God had made us inside of the womb. And even then, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that in America, abortion is legal. The variations of abortion and how legal it is varies from state to state and from time to time. We know some states have jumped one way and other states have jumped the other way, but it is a legal thing within our country. Since the ruling of the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade in 1973, we have now surpassed 50 million children in America that have been killed in abortion. Right now, the statistics say, and this is frightening, for every two children that are born in America, one is aborted. That's how severe an epidemic this is. For every two children that are born, one is killed in an abortion. In America today, every 20 seconds, a child is aborted. And so this isn't just a small subject that will hit every now and again. This is something that is current in our country and is a very big deal. And with it, we know that there are people that come on both sides. And let me tell you, because this is dealing with children, it is something that's a supercharged emotional subject, a very horrible subject and one that brings in lots of passions. Because of that, we have to be very careful that we're able to address where we stand biblically and not just emotionally. Now, with it, we have to understand that there are consequences, because how you treat an unborn child actually progresses into how we deal with things in other things. For example, abortion itself promotes killing. That it is an interesting dynamic that since the ramping up of the children being killed in the womb, that it devalues human life. It gets to the place where people are used to killing, and it is very much pro-death. Some of the people who support abortion have claimed that if we amped up and had more abortions, that child abuse would go down. Actually, it's gone the reverse, because if you're going to abuse them inside of the womb, why not abuse them outside of the womb? It just becomes a mindset that if it's not that big of a deal, if it doesn't value, it carries it out. Of course, there are many abortion proponents who actually are support of aborting a child after they are born. And again, that mindset just continues to go on with the idea that it just devalues life, period. Life is no longer sacred. It is no longer a sanctified thing. And so it comes the idea, why not just continue to murder more and more, live or dead? It just interesting dynamics that we find in our society. As for this, let's dive into a little bit more, trying to understand more about this idea of what the Bible has to say concerning this. Now notice with me again in Psalm 139, and notice with me in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That we know inside of the human body, each of our cells have inside of it chromosomes. Anybody know how many chromosomes that we have inside of our body? 46. And so that's 23 pairs of chromosomes. And every cell in the human body contains 46 chromosomes, except cells which are called the gametes, and that there is a female cell, egg, and there is a male cell. Each of those consists of 23 chromosomes. And when they are joined together to form life, those 43, one pair from mom, one pair from dad, join together. And the moment that it joins together, they complete that chromosome. And scientifically speaking, life actually is now pronounced, and that it's half from dad, half from mom at that time. We could tell that scientifically. One of the things is that in Roe v. Wade, and of course you could trace the things leading up to there, but Roe v. Wade, when it was passed by the Supreme Court in 1973, technology has advanced quite a bit. When Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, most people believed that all that was in the womb was a mass of cells, just a glob. That's what they thought. And that's why it was able to get passed, because if it's nothing but a glob, then it's not that big of a deal. But we've now been able to see that a child actually can move, have heartbeat, interact. It's not, we've been able to scientifically observe MRIs and all the wonderful technology that we have, how developed that a child is so quickly and so early. And so it's not an idea that it was a glob of cells. We can scientifically prove, in fact, all the stuff that Roe v. Wade was based off of is out of date. We now have more information. Neither here nor there. It is what it is. What we're talking about is that God had fearfully and made us wonderfully, as we see in Psalm 139. As we deal with it, inside of that one cell, when the two halves from mom and dad join together and become one cell, from that one cell, they'll divide in a process called mitosis, and they'll split. And they'll split again, and they'll split again, and they'll split again. And from that, all that one cell combined from that very first cell has all the information of what the child is going to become. That inside of the womb, we have bones, which are the heart of substance, but that all came from one cell. And from that one cell, it began to divide and multiply. And some of it became bones. Some of it became hearts, and the heart muscles began to multiply and became a heart organ. Can you imagine how wonderful it is that inside, in secret, as the Bible said, verse number 15, my substance was not hid from thee. I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, saying that I was formed. It was in secret. But think about how wonderful it is that that cell divides and divides. And how do the cells know which ones to turn into the heart, which ones to turn into the liver, which ones to form all of the neurons inside of the brain and put them all together, to put all the vessels and the arteries and the veins, to put together the lymph system, and how complicated our human body is. And all that is formed within the womb. How wonderfully God has made us. It is a wonderful, just marvel of science that we could just look at a brand new baby that is born and go, wow, God made all of this in secret where no one was watching. No wonder that the psalmist in 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Well, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 1. We just hit one passage, but let's understand that life begins at conception. We hit the idea that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us within the womb. We know scientifically what is going on and how it's developing, and that our technology has advanced quite a bit, that we understand it is not just a glob, a mass that slowly turns into something else or even evolves, but it is actually a human creature from the very beginning as the cells divide, and we could see all of this. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter number 1, we could see this even more. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now notice, it's using the pronoun. The pronoun here, we have to identify. Who is the pronoun? It is God. Verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I, the Lord, formed thee in the belly, I, the Lord, knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I, the Lord, sanctify thee, and I, the Lord, ordain thee to be a prophet of the nations. Notice this. God says, before I form thee. Notice we learn something. God's the one that does the forming, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That means before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God knew everything about you. He knew what you were going to be like. He knew what your likes and dislikes were. He knew your parents. He knew when you were going to be born. He knew you. And then knowing this, before I formed thee out of the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He says, before you came out of the mother's womb, not only did I know you, I had a plan for your life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That God had created life. He's the one that oversees all of that process of becoming a person inside of the womb. But before you came out, he already had a plan for your life. Every child has a plan. Every child has a purpose. What a wonderful God that we have, that he had a purpose for every single one of them. Now, you may have surprised your parents, but it didn't catch God off guard. You weren't an accident to him. In fact, it brings me to the second thing. Conception is a gift from God. Notice with me in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Notice this. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Where do the children come from? From God. God's the one that grants them. They are a gift. He says at the last part of verse 3, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. We are a gift. We're something that God has given to us. That God had made us. And that we are parents who are thankful enough to have children. Our children, even though they don't feel like it sometimes, are a gift of God. God gave them to us. It is God's gift. And we're thankful that God has been able to give us this gift. So that brings us to this idea. The third thing is to stand where God stands on this issue. We need to stand where God stands on the issue. Of course, because this is such a hot button topic, it is a topic that some people just choose to stay away from. We don't want to get in a fight. We don't want to get an argument. But this is something we have to have an idea to stand. Now, this is where the application may differ from what others do. Some people get absorbed in this and say, all right, well then let's go protest an abortion clinic. That's not the real problem. You understand, abortion is a symptom of the problem. Yeah. It is a symptom. Well, what's the real problem? Sin. We're sinful nation. And Christians aren't behaving like Christians no more. We've lost our moral influence. And so we've come to a place where the thing is that people need to be taught that God loves them and that God died for them and he's willing to pay the price and gave them a free gift of salvation. We understand that today they make arguments that abortion should be left for the idea of incest or rape. Well, statistically, only 1% of all abortions are because of incest or rape. They say, well, then we should do it because of the idea of a woman's health being in danger. All right. Well, do you know that only 3% of all abortions are done technically because they say that the woman's health is in danger? The former attorney general, I forgot his first initials, but Coop, he was the attorney general for a long time. He was a medical doctor for 30 years, and he says, I've never seen a case where a child had endangered the mother's health. Now, we could grant that it happens from time to time, but it's rarer than what they pronounce. Then why are most of the cases done? Well, believe it or not, most of the reasons why abortion is done, according to statistics people gather, is because they find some defect in a child, some reason or another. They'll say a good percentage of them are done because they said, well, because my kid's going to have Down syndrome, because he's going to be physically handicapped, because he's going to be mentally handicapped. He's going to be unwanted. He's going to be too much of a burden for you. And they give those excuses. And that is why the people continue to follow after that abortion, because they say it's going to be an imperfect child, and so therefore you don't need to have them. Well, you understand, when we come to a place where we're getting rid of imperfect people, there's a big list of people that's going to be in line. I don't know a single child who is perfect. But beyond that, when we start getting to the idea that we need to put to death those that are going to be a drain in our society, that's going to be a big problem. And again, where's the problem at? These are all symptoms of the problem. The symptom all stem from the idea that we're sinners and that we've rejected a holy, righteous God. And though now we're living in an amoral society. We know that there are three types of society. There is a moral society, an immoral society, and an amoral society. A moral society knows what's right and wrong and chooses to do right. An immoral society knows the difference between right and wrong and chooses to do wrong. An amoral society is a society that can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong. And because we no longer have God as our moral compass, we now determine what's right and wrong. Well, when everyone does what's right in his own eyes, therefore, we have no way to tell what is right and wrong. So now it comes to the idea of choosing what we think is right. So if I decide to take my gun and hold it to your head and said, I've determined it's right for me to shoot you, who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Because now we no longer have any kind of moral authority. You see, it all comes down to the idea that we've lost our moral center. We're no longer a moral society. We're an amoral society. And all of this is a symptom. So what do we do about it? I do not believe that the answer is protesting abortion clinics. However, I think as Americans, we have freedom, and there are freedoms that we should be able to put our voice to and say, this is wrong. I do believe that. But the most important thing is that people need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that Christians are no longer behaving like Christians. We're no longer witnessing as Christians. And now we're having more and more lost people with no moral center around. We have a place where even Christians are not discipled and not taught, and they no longer have a moral center, and now anything goes. All of this is a symptom of the problems we live in. So we need to stand where God stands. We have to understand that the problem is, it's only one sign of moral ruin. This is a time for Christians to pray, be faithful, and to stand for the truth, to be witnessing. And we need to be praying for our nation that we would have a revolution back to God and back to the Bible. And it starts with Christians behaving like Christians, living like Christians, and witnessing like Christians. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.